I want you to help me. And as soon as you pick up on what I'm talking about, I want you to join in with me, okay? It's going to be short. Everybody ready? You better watch out. You better not cry. Better watch out. I'm telling you why. No, Santa Claus ain't coming to town. Here's the setup. The title of tonight's message is, You Better Watch Your Mouth. They don't like it, don't guess. But you better watch your mouth. That's all of us. Can you say amen? Now, how many are born again in here tonight? Born again. Everybody born again. Everybody born again. Okay. So we're saved by grace, right? Through faith. Okay. We receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so our hearts are changed. Right? So if our hearts are changed, then our mouth should change. Should be changed, right? So we need a little WRK. We need a little work to get it done. But it's already established that we're saved, our hearts are changed, and so our mouths need to fall in line. We okay so far? Words cost. Words cost you. If you agree, say amen. Words cost you. So can I freely speak to you? I'm going to answer that for you. No, I can't. I know we have our Constitution. We have the freedom of speech. But watch this. Presidents come and presidents go. But Jesus is Lord forever. So I'm obligated to a higher authority. So I can't just say what I want to say and him not hold me accountable for what I say. Can you say amen? Oh, we're gonna help us tonight. I said us. Now, how many spoke something today? Don't raise your hand that you shouldn't have said. Don't raise it. Okay. Somebody say, I ain't gonna lie. How many know God know everything? So he already know. Can I say anything to my wife and it don't cost me? Well, I already told you that because I got hit in the eye. But to a coworker, a family member, a friend, cost me anything in terms of my relationship with them. So you can say something that could cost you in that relationship. Amen. Have you ever made this statement? I probably shouldn't say this. But what do we end up doing? Saying it anyway. And either the Holy Spirit or common sense told you that you shouldn't say it, but you say it. How many is guilty of that? Or have been guilty of that? Okay, well, you're in the right place tonight. And so you may win the disagreement with your spouse, but you lose the agreement that you have in your marriage because of your... So you may win the battle, but you lose the war. What have you really won then? And one, because of all that abuse, decide, I'm done because of the abuse. Amen. So God will say to you, why did you say that? I really didn't mean anything by it. Guess what God said? Yes, you did too, in the scriptures. Because he said, out of the abundance of the mouth speak. So you meant to say it. It was in there. So don't try to justify it. You know what you should say to the Lord? Lord, I didn't realize that was still in my heart. See how that looked? I didn't realize that was still in my heart. And then you petition him and ask him to help you deal with that that's gotten in your heart. Jesus compared words to fruit. Fruit on trees, and trees have roots, right? And so John the Baptist said in Matthew 3 and 10, he said, even now the axe is being laid at the root of the tree. Which means Jesus is coming to deal with the issues of the heart. We talk a lot about that in freedom, about trees, the heart. We're going to learn some things tonight. Proverbs 18. You can turn there. Proverbs 18. And most of the time, we skip 20 and go to 21, but we're going to stop at 20 for a minute. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. What is he saying? The quality of your life is dependent upon the words you speak to some degree. Your quality of life. That's tied to Proverbs 18 and 20. And then you go on to Proverbs 18 and 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what is that telling you? It's very important what comes out of your mouth. More importantly, what comes into your heart, because out of the abundance of the mouth. Can you see that? So you need to watch who you hang around, what you listening, what you watching, what you speaking. Everything God created, he created it with what? Words. Let there be. And God said, let there, and God said, and God said. See it? Well, guess what? We were created in his image. We were created in his image. So likewise, we speak. And if you're not careful, you I don't know what you're looking for, but you'll have what you. So it's important what you speak or what you say. Amen. So, we're not to be trying to get God to be in agreement with our words. We need to be getting our words in agreement with God. What did he say? What did he say about it? And it's kind of like this. Quit asking God to do, to bless what you're doing, and do what God is blessing. That, you see that? Do what he's blessing. And it's in here. Amen. So that's what makes the difference in the quality of life. So are you agreeing with life or are you agreeing with death? So you're releasing words when you speak out of your mouth, and it's agreeing with life or death. Can you see that? So you need to be careful what you're saying, what you're speaking. All right, 2 points. First point, words connect us to God. Words connect us to God. Words are how God comes from the spiritual realm where he lives to the earthly realm where we live. Words. God sent his son Jesus, right? You know what Jesus served as? A bridge. Because when we sinned, we created a Grand Canyon separating us from God. And so Jesus was the bridge that we can walk over and get reconnected to God. So what was that connection though? What's another word for the bridge? and Jesus, the Word. Word. Say Word. Jesus is the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see the emphasis being put on the Word? So the Word came and bridged the gap so we can get reconnected with God. Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and he healed them. His what? His word. He sent his word. How do we get saved? How do we get saved? God sent his word to reach us and we walk across the word. Or the bridge of confession, like I said earlier, and the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved. You know, when the disciples were in the boat, and they were a little afraid because they thought Jesus was a ghost. And what did Peter say? Lord, if that's you, bid me to. And what did Peter do? No, I don't think he walked on the water. He walked on the word. Can y'all see that? Because the word was come. And he walked on that word. Can y'all see that? I know we say he walked on the water, but you know what I mean. He had to have something to walk on to get him there. And it was the word. Amen. Romans 10:8. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you. In your mouth. You'll notice throughout the Bible, it will continually connect heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the, now some people say this way, whoever calls on the Lord. No, whosoever call on the name of the Lord, that's another message. That's loaded, but we skipped over that for a long time. So whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Words are how we connect to God, right? Can you see it now? Oh, it's going to get better. According to Scripture, if you believe in your heart, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we speak words that agree with him. We speak words that agree with him. That's when he shows up. A lot of times we run angels off because we're not speaking this. And somebody made a joke. That's why they paint the pictures of him being a little chubby. Because they sit around with nothing to do because we keep speaking the wrong things. They ain't got nothing to do. I needed you earlier, but they'll tell you about it. Now, Matthew 12. I need you to turn to this one. I need you to write it down, something. Go to it later, but there's been a lot of misunderstanding about where we're finna go. Matthew 12, verse 31. It's hard for a lot of people to understand this. It's talking about the unpardonable sin. In Matthew 12, verse 31. Therefore I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy. What's blasphemy? Evil speaking. But the blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy, evil speaking against the Spirit, will not be forgiven men. Verse 32, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And they stop reading right there. But guess what? Jesus keep talking. So that means we need to keep what? Reading. verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Watch this. The tree is the heart. We were talking about freedom earlier. The tree is the what? And the mouth is the fruit. Did y'all get that? The mouth is the fruit. Verse 34, brood of vipers. He's talking to these Pharisees. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the tree, the mouth speaks, or the fruit comes. Am I going too fast? Out of the abundance of the, which is the fruit comes. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, speaks good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things, speaks evil things. Verse 36, but I say to you that for every idle word, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. How many have read that before? How many believe that? Let's keep reading. Verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When Jesus was on this earth, he laid down his divinity and picked up his humanity, and the Holy Spirit worked through him. Everybody with me? But we had a group called the Pharisees. So the Holy Spirit was ministering through Jesus, and these Pharisees during that day attributed the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. They said he was doing that by works of the devil, or by the Prince Beelzebub, which is prince of the demons. And Jesus looked at them, kind of told them, that will send you to hell. Why? Because the only one of the Godhead that really revealed the need for Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And it's the very one that you're talking against. Can y'all see that? The Holy Spirit reveals the need for Jesus. He said, you're speaking that because your heart is bad. Did y'all see where we're going now? We're going back to the heart. You can only speak that if your heart is bad. Tree, fruit, mouth, tree, heart, fruit, mouth. Speak that you shouldn't be speaking. If your heart is evil, you're going to speak evil. The reason he can send them to hell, I told you, the one that really revealed to them what they needed. And they spoke against him. He said, if you continue to speak and to harden your heart against the Holy Spirit, and he comes and convicts you, you're going to have a hard heart. Okay? And that's going to be a problem, because what's going to come up to you is me, Jesus talking about himself. He's the Savior. Okay? And your heart is hard, and you can't receive what you need. You know, people don't go to hell because of their sin, but they go to hell because they reject the one who took care of all their sins. The sins is already paid for. But the very one you need, you're rejecting him. And so their heart was hard, and they were speaking evil, speaking against the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy. speaking evil things. Y'all got it? Okay. So the unpardonable sin is not a sexual sin. It ain't gambling. It ain't drinking. It's the one you commit with your mouth. And some people think they have committed the unpardonable sin. If you're in here and you think that, relax. You still breathing. And you're in here. You're in church, which means you're still seeking God. People who commit blasphemy, they're not seeking God. And a lot of folks have believed that lie, that they have committed the unpardonable sin. You really got to know what you're doing when you do that, by the way. It ain't by accident. But people believe the lie. And when they believe the lie, they lose all hope. And when they lose all hope, they quit seeking God. Y'all, can y'all see that? That's what happens. So if you're still breathing, you still have hope. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So you still living. That means you still got an opportunity. You got hope. Amen, somebody. Every idle word. Somebody say that with me. Every idle word. You know they're being recorded? Did you know every idle word you speak is being recorded? You may speak a little different now that you know that. How many knew that every word, idle word you spoke is being recorded? How many of you really knew that? How many didn't know it? Raise your hand. You didn't know it. Uh-oh. Okay. So you better watch your mouth. But when you get saved, you know what he said? I remember your sins no more. How many thank God for an eraser? I will remember your sins no more. Thank God for that. So words connect us to God. We got that part? All right, number two. Words connect us to each other. Words connect us to each other. Proverbs 18:21 again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. There's a reason why he put those two verses next to each other. He knew exactly what he was doing. Let's read it again. 21. Death and life are in the power of the what? And those who love it will eat its fruit. Verse 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from who? Mm-hmm. The way we connect with God is through our words. The way we connect with each other is through our words. Anytime you have a disconnect from someone, you know what caused the disconnect? Your words. Words were involved. So go back and look at what you said and go back and look at what they said. And you'll find it was some words that caused the disconnect. If you want a good marriage, make it with your mouth. No, that ain't good enough. Say that with me. If you want a good marriage, make it with your mouth. Amen. Some of us have a bad marriage because we have a bad mouth. Now, understand me. I'm not here to condemn anybody. But I am here to convict you. And that's a good thing. Which means this should bring about some change. We live in a free country, y'all. But you can't say what you want to say. I said earlier, presidents come and presidents go. Jesus is Lord forever. We're responsible to a higher authority. Can't say what you want to say. Some of us are speaking death over our marriage, death over our finances, death over our family, death over our jobs, death over our health. And watch this. We do not have creative power. I don't know who told that lie. Only Jesus said, let there be life. He the only one. And there was. Name it and claim it. Really? Here's what does happen. Our words agree with God's plan for our life, or it agrees with Satan's plans for our life. Y'all get it? So you have to watch what you release out of your mouth, because it's either going to agree with what God said or what Satan is saying about your life. Amen, somebody. So every word we're speaking is releasing life or death into our lives. Same with our marriage. Ephesians 5 and 25. Let's turn there. Let's look at that. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the. Christ washes and cleanses his bride with words. Uh-oh, got a question for husbands. Are you washing and cleansing your wife with words, or are you defiling her with your words? And the same thing the other way around. Same thing for wives.
Well, I'm just trying to help him out, or help her out.
Are you washing her or him gently, or sandblasting them? Y'all ever seen somebody sandblast something? It hurts if it get on you. So stop speaking death over your spouse. That's what we're doing. How would you feel if you have spoken something into somebody's life and caused them to take their life? Because of the seed that you planted in them. Or caused them to derail in life. Y'all heard that sticks and stones may break my bones, but is that true or false? I'm going to just say it's a lie. If your husband does one thing well, you know what you should do? Compliment him and talk about it all the time. Amen, somebody. If your wife does one thing well, even if she can't cook, compliment her and talk about it all the time. Amen, somebody. What you should do is get some cookbooks or go on the internet and help her and do it together. Amen. Y'all mad now? I ain't turning it hard enough then. No, I ain't gonna make nobody mad. But you figure out what that is and you compliment them. And you talk about it all the time. I'm being used in the kingdom a lot now. Because my wife speaks words over me before I deserve them. And she happens to be a Proverbs 31 woman. But I want to bring something to your attention. It's in Proverbs 31. It says, her husband is an elder in this gate of the city, meaning he's respected in the community of God. That's attributed to her, not me. Did y'all get that? I'm respected because the word she spoke over me. And all that they wrote in Proverbs 31 is attributed to the wife, not the husband. Every woman, every man wants a Proverbs 31 woman. And every man wants a Job 29 man. He's respected in the city. Praise God. If you want a good husband, make him with your mouth or your words. You might have the exact husband you have made with your words or your mouth. And the same thing goes for the wife. You may have the wife you have made with the words you have used. And if you don't like what you got, then what should you do? Change what you're saying. Because you have what you say. Amen, somebody. It's very important that we speak life into our families. So you are allowing God to bless you, or you are allowing Satan to come into your family with your words. Death and life in the power of the tongue. Now here's some keys. I'm going to give you a key to help with relationships. You want to hear? Are y'all ready to go home? You want to hear? Okay. Seven divine words. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Seven words. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? It's not magic, but it's divine. Remember, words connect us to God and words connect us to each other. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? That's how you get reconnected to God. It's how you get reconnected to your kids and anybody else that you have relationships with. Your boss. It takes a strong person to say, I was wrong, will you forgive me? And then six words that come short of healing relationships. You want to know what they are? I need your forgiveness. That's it. Six words. I need your forgiveness. But they never do. Ask for it. Never get around to it. They hee-haw around. Never get to it. They just say, I need to. That's a little short, isn't it? That's a little short, isn't it? If you need to, just go ahead and do it. I need to ask your forgiveness. Go ahead and ask for it then. What's keeping you from it? You use the same thing to connect relationships that you use to disconnect relationships. And those are words. So we need to go around rebuilding what? Bridges that we've torn down and blown up. Some of us really can blow some bridges up. I mean, blow them up. And you know, sometimes it takes a little while to find the pieces. Because a lot of us don't use those Tommy guns. We use nuclear weapons to blow them up. I'm telling the truth. We in church, we're supposed to tell the truth. Guess what? It's never too late to do it because you're still breathing. It's never too late because you're still breathing. Now, I got two scriptures, and I'm closing. Did that help anybody? Yeah. Well, give God a hand clap. Yeah. Two scriptures. I'm going to close. Write these down and read them when you go home. Psalms 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a good one. Now, I had to pass this test first. Ready for the next one? Psalms 39, verse 1. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. Now, you may come to church looking crazy with a muzzle on, but I guarantee you it'll help you. Now, that's funny, but it's true. I heard a minister one time say, some of us, we'd be better off. Y'all know what 100 mile an hour tape is? If we would get up in the morning and seal that joker up before we walk out the door, you would kill less folk. You would commit less harm. You would commit less sins. Because you look in Proverbs, it says a person who talks a lot is liable to sin. Because y'all ever heard a machine gun go off? It come out just that fast. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And you stand to your feet. I asked a question earlier. And it was, you ever made this statement? I probably shouldn't say this. Y'all remember that? I probably shouldn't say this. But how many of you have went on and said it anyway? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Now, the Holy Spirit trying to help you. And he giving you a warning, and you going to ignore it? Light turned yellow. What's that telling you? Huh? Slow down. But some folks do the opposite and speed up. And then, wham! What they say? Uh-oh. You had a warning. I can have fun with this one. We'll be here a minute. And y'all probably need some help for your side be hurting, because I could really have you rolling. What you shaking your head? Told a story earlier, baby. You didn't hear it. Thought you had got away, but I told him, I said, I was tested with this word before I preached it tonight. And I said, can you say anything to your wife and get away with it? She's shaking her head. And I told him how I was hit in the eye one night in the bed. But I told him you were having a bad dream. And I ended up going to the doctor. And I think out of sorrow, she was feeling sorry for me, checking on me, because she had hit me in the eye. But I never spoke anything contrary to what this says, what I was going through. But y'all can tell I didn't say anything ugly, did I? It was all complimentary, really. But the point is, speak the word. No matter what you're going through, speak the word. Because death and life is in the power of the tongue. So what's the tree? The heart. What's the fruit? Y'all gonna remember that? You hold your spouse in it. Okay. About that heart. Look what kind of fruit coming out that mouth. How many of y'all like rotten fruit? Uh-huh. There's some rotten fruit. And some of it, I don't even want it in my trash can in the house. It's got to go outside. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you that we can have fun in church, but also we take it seriously of what you have spoken to us through your word. You said, in all I get and get understanding, and in all our ways to acknowledge you, and you would direct our pathway. So I thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for loving us enough to tell us the truth. We bless your name, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.